The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Barrington Awaken with your host Barrington right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us live right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Join our path to enlightenment with our guidance to living at your best, with a path to a higher consciousness. And now, right to your host of Barrington Awaken, Barrington.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Barrington Awaken. Thank you for tuning in on this beautiful day. Of course, we're having our summer months up here in Canada, where we're broadcasting from, and we're loving it. And if you are nearby, you can appreciate it, because for a lot of the other months, we're kind of cooped up and locked in, and we're very cold. Anyway, today's a beautiful day. We're going to take advantage of that. I welcome you to the show like I do every week. Thank you for being a part of it. We talk about raising you to a higher level of consciousness. We want you to wake up, for you to open your eyes and live a better, productive, prosperous life. We want you to know who you are and to give you a method in which to find the path that you belong to. You belong a part of this society. We're all a part of each other. We're all the same. We've come from the same place by the same method. And you at no time at all should be thinking that you're lesser, nor should you think you're greater. We're all equal in every sense. You are unique, just like everybody else. Please remember that. Welcome to the show. This gives you the opportunity to look into yourself and to study your own life, to see the likes you have and the dislikes you have and you don't want. Wake up to a reality of knowing that you're in full control of who you are. The state that you're in right now is something you brought on your own based on the thoughts that you're holding. What we hope to achieve is that the tomorrows to come, you'll see a different view through life. We want you to know how to hit the reset button that's within you. And it is there with all the instructions, how to live a very prosperous life, how to live a spiritual life, how to be strong, courageous, without illness. And it could teach you how to repair the illnesses. I want to share this real quick. If you are able to do chant and you're able to say the word Om all the time, it will get you. And it's a state of meditation. It will help you to cure the body. And I do talk a lot about meditating, and the meditation idea is to for you to reconnect to all that there is, to find your part on that great wave that makes you who you are. We speak about meditation because it opens up everything. It connects you to spirituality, connects you to the path. I had to repeat that simply because of its importance. We talk a lot about meditating, and once you do that, you're slowing down the thoughts that's going through your mind all the time, and try not to have any. It's difficult. You may always get one. Remember not to follow it. Just let it go, dismiss it, and try to stay on a path of not thinking about anything. And as you're doing that, you are meditating and you are connected to all that there is, the universe as we know it. We're not in it, it's in us. We're built from it, we're part of it. Wake up. Know full well that you are in control of you. Wake up. Don't let anybody or anything take you off the path that you're supposed to be on. We speak about raising you to a higher level of consciousness, and we hope that when you get there, and if you practice, you will. It's inevitable. You will know how to use it to your advantage. The depression, the illness, the anger, the hate, all the negativities that brings us down will no longer be a part of your everyday life. So we say, wake up. Welcome to the show. I want to ask a quick question. I'll actually make a statement that I realized this week. And we've always been told about ancient history and, of course, the Egyptians and their advancement. And we've all heard many times that, you know, they had technology that we don't have, and they lived advanced to how we are today. And of course, it's always been blamed on they were visited by aliens, or maybe aliens were here and teaching them these things. And it's, you know, to this date. However, they've been saying this is going back 5,000 years, and it's been proven recently that it actually goes a lot further than that. It goes back to almost 25,000 years, and what the architectural geniuses and scientists and historians have all come up with is that this existence was there before the Ice Age. And especially the Sphinx, if you're familiar with that, it was there before the Ice Age, which is a very long time ago, and it's long before the years that we fought the Egyptians at Rome, or they took over what they were doing. But it's not the 5,000 years that they were saying, it's actually 25,000, more than 25,000 years, and it was there before the Ice Age. So that's incredible. That's an amazing accomplishment for whoever figured that out. And now we're realizing that what we've been told all along is probably not true. The point I want to make is historians have always claimed that these were tombs that were built for the kings and the pharaohs, and that has been proven not to be true either. And their advancement, their technology was way more advanced than we are today. That's amazing. So we're on a cycle, I would imagine, and we're where we are now, it's our turn, and we're going a lot faster. Like, technology moves so fast today that when you're using it, it's old, and then so on, the new one comes in, and so on and so forth. Where does it end up? Why am I saying all this? I'm not sure. I just thought I'd point that out to you, that we're a lot older than the experts were saying. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Let's go back to that and talk about raising you to a higher level of consciousness, and for you to figure out how to live a more productive and a prosperous life. I want to say welcome to all the longtime listeners, people that's been here since day one, and they continue to stay here. I do get your emails from time to time, and you're thanking me and you're loving the show, and I do take the time to respond to them as when I find the time. If I didn't, I'm working on it. I will get back to you. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you for coming. And to everybody, I say welcome home. I say home in the home of spirituality, because that's where we live. That's where we belong. That's our guidance. It is what makes us do what we're doing. Do we have a reset button? Are you able to reset the things that you've done? And it may have caused you hardship or a bad part of life or difficulties or struggles. Are you able to reset the mind so you can change and become something different if you're not enjoying what you're doing now? If it's not productive or prosperous for you, are we able to hit a reset button within ourselves and then renew it? Of course, you can't get the 20s back or the teenage years. Those are gone forever, you know. Like the leather helmets in the football games, they're gone and they'll never come back. Well, the 20s will never come back, or the 30s or whatever age it's past you. But what you can do is learn how to live a more productive life from this day on. And it's there, it's available, it's for you. That's why we talk about spirituality. That's why we talk about meditation. That's why we want to talk about the ability or the method in which you could reset. It's all within the mind. Whatever you were thinking yesterday, we need to figure out how to reset and do something more productive. Whatever is in the cup of life, we need to empty it out. and put in the things that we want, or put in a lot of the things that we want and allow the things that we don't want to escape on its own, overflow, run away? Do we have a reset button? Well, our minds have that ability to start something new all the time. We have this amazing ability within us as human beings to reset and start again, start a new career, start a new life plan, start a new business, start something new. We have this within us all the time. And if you're thinking maybe you don't, you need to recheck the tool and talk to your sender, have a conversation with yourself and says, yes, I'm able to do this. Let's do it. When you make that decision, it's a conscious decision that you've made, but you've set everything in motion for the reset or the restart, the rejuvenation, if you want to call it that. We have this ability. So if you're bogged down in a negative way, if you're fatigued, if you're tired, things aren't working out for you as they should have or they used to, you have this ability to go back in and reset and start again. It's not, if you're familiar with the soccer here, the rest of the world calls it football. When the game gets congested and tied up, they grab the ball or somebody will kick it out of bounds, and then you have this ball being thrown back in and the game will start again, resetting the game. Same concept falls with us wanting to reset ourselves. It's a little bit more difficult for human beings simply because we've been doing this thing or believe in that thing for so long, it has become a part of us. It's innate now, it's dug in. It leaves scars, but it doesn't mean that it's permanent and it's there forever. You do have that ability to press the reset by readjusting the way you look at life. We talk about spirituality because it is a tool that gives us this longevity of life and a proper method of life. To remove the things that's causing hardship, pain, you need to be able to find out or know who you are and truly understand the power you have. You must know and understand the power you have and not to just take it laying down. You have this ability within you. Check the tool bag that came with you at birth. Every single thing you need to be able to get through life is within you. And this body, and I've said many times, the body is not us. We're within the body. It's our vehicle that carries us from point A to point B. You've heard that many times. We have the ability to navigate this up, down, in and around, turns, move things, maneuver, whatever you want to call it. You need to know how to do that. When we talk about spirituality, we're introducing you to the method in which you could take full control of who you are, what you'll do, where you'll go, what you'll accomplish, the things, the heights that you could get, the business you want to run. All of that and the ability to do that is within you, every single one of you. To throw your hands up and say, "Ah, forget it, I give up," that is called spiritual suicide. You are hurting yourself and you're giving up. You cannot give up. The race is not over until somebody sings. And as long as you're alive, you have this ability to make the changes that's within you, though they might be hard because you've been doing this for a very, very long time. It has become innate. Your body may have adapted to it, but you still have at any given point the ability to change that. You are God. And that's hard for a lot of people to hear. It's very disturbing for some people to hear. And I get chastised on that a lot because how dare me say that? The truth is, if we are created in His image, we are Him. If that dog had a puppy, you have to assume that little puppy is also a dog. And if we were created by this entity, this source, this be all and end all, the alpha, we are Him or it or her. But there's only one. and we're created from that. That makes that us. If you've got this great ability to be the God, why not utilize it? Why not step up and take it to the maximum human abilities, and don't try to fly off a building? That doesn't work. But you've got amazing, amazing tool within you. Please do not accept defeat as the end result. Please do not give up. Try again and try again. Oh yeah, and try again. Because you have this ability within you to create all that you desire, whatever that may be. This is why we talk about spirituality. It's the way of life. It's the way nature intended it to be. We live according to the laws of the land. We live in unison with all that the other elements that are here. Create the union that belongs to you. You are a part of it. This is why we talk about spirituality. The benefits are, how many times have you had a thought about something or someone, and sure enough, within minutes or days after that, you will have come to that reality. Something crosses your mind, or you think of a person and the phone rings and it's that person, or you didn't want to take that route because you thought it'd be difficult, then you heard there was a horrible accident down there, or even for some who just changed their mind about going on that plane when something horrible had happened, and so on, and so on, and so on. Every once in a while, you get this message. You receive the message. You hear the message. A lot of us don't listen to it. We ignore it and think it's just a crazy thought. It's not. It's as if somebody, your guide, which are with you all the time, is saying, no, don't go that way. Or you're going out, bring your coat. Or get, they're constantly guiding you, hence the name, your guides. And every one of us has our guides. Your life has been pre-planned. And this is what we're saying about trying to find out who you are, so you will have a good understanding of your plan. I've heard many times people say, when we plan as human beings to do something, God is laughing because he's got a different plan for you. And that simply means that we're not doing the dance that we were designed to do, or carrying the load we're supposed to carry, or not. Or doing the things that we're supposed to do. Because at some point in our life, we got distracted, we got moved away. We got, in some cases, told many lies. So we give up on what we're supposed to do. How now you're committed into something else. You're working at this job, you live at that house, you're raising this family, you're committed in that relationship. So we think, okay, well, this is it. We're stuck here. And it's hard to change all of that. And I'm not suggesting you pack a bag and go through the front door or the back door. But I'm suggesting that there's a lot more to you than we're aware of. And some of us, a lot of us, were led off the path that truly belongs to us. Occasionally you get this message, like I just said, you get this message, and this message will tell you something. And you've all heard or felt or see that, oh yeah, this is not my life. This is not my life. But then we dull down and we settle into something that's not us. We're telling you to open up the book of spirituality, open up the path of spirituality, and walk towards a greater success, or find your happiness. If a great lie was told across the nation and we all believed it, the liars as well as the believers were suffering equally. Wake up. Wake up and study and get into your spiritual existence and see the life that you deserve to live. You could do this. And our greatest method was to talk about getting you onto this track or this path through a method of meditation. There's many different kinds of meditating. The typical one that we all try to do, start from home, is to sit still. And if you are able to take on a mantra, and what that is you chant a word that puts your mind or body into the state of meditation, allowing you to forget what you're supposed to, not to reflect on the thoughts that's coming in at you all the time. the mantra usually is given to you by a guru, and you're not supposed to share it with anybody. It's very personal, but let me give you a little hint. They're probably all the same. So, but you discuss it. It's yours. It's personal. You hold on to it. And when you go to your state of meditation, you will do this chant. You could do this chant that will bring you into a meditative state faster. And while you're there, you will be enjoying it. They exist. It's your birthright to know who you are. Find out what these mantras do. Another easier one that we do a lot, and I also teach this a lot, about the breathing. If you want to get into your meditative state where the brain completely settles down and the thoughts are minimal, maybe non-existence, is the method of breathing. If you focus on the breath coming in, goes into the body, fills the entire cavity, and it goes into the deep parts of your body, then you also image that leaving. So you inhale and you exhale. And as you focus on that, in and out, you're too busy thinking of everything else, anything else. And you're now in the state of meditation. Very simple. Just breathe on the breath coming in, doing its job, and then you focus on it going back out. And that's all you do. I tend to think, a lot of us as well, I go in and I listen to my heartbeat. And as you listen to your heartbeat for a very long time, you feel it. And then you can also feel as it pulses the blood through the body where they check your pulse. You could feel that, but that takes some time to get to that level. And I'm one to talk because I've been busy, so busy last little bit there that I haven't been doing the meditation that I used to do many years ago, but I've vowed to get back on track because I do understand and I know the rewards of it. So this is what we all should be doing, is meditating. But we get tired, we get busy, we get distracted. But as long as you know your place and you keep going, you'll always be happy with that. Do we have...
We have some emails. Folks, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Barrington Awaken with your host, Barrington. You can write to us right now with a question, a thought process, a comment. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Patrick wrote in, and he said, Barrington, you use the term aliens today. What is your thought on aliens? Do you think aliens ever visited this planet that we all live on? What is your take on that? That is from Patrick. Adam wants to know if the smoke from the wildfires have affected you or your family. That's from Adam. Nancy, she is a new listener from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Welcome, Nancy. Let's see here. Stacy wrote in and she says, it's always a positive time when I listen to your show each week. You make me smile. That's from Stacy. And one more here, Barrington. Jerome wrote in, when you talk about chanting and you use the example of the word you did, does it really matter what words we use? And what is chanting exactly? How does that help us meditate? That is Jerome. And back to you, Barrington.
Okay, thank you, Jerome. Thank you very much for that question. I'm going to get to it right away. So we chant, and the reason we do this is we put ourselves in a state of meditation, and you like a numbness to the brain, not in a physical sense, but you're preoccupied on what you're saying through the chant. One of the questions you're asking was, does it matter the word? I can't tell you for sure, yes, that matters the word. Neither can I tell you no, that it matters the word that you use. What I can't say, if you're focused on something, I suppose if you're going to focus on the word a bicycle, It could work because it's still bringing you your brain to that state of mind. But the ones that I'm familiar with and the schools that I've gone to and the meditations that I've learned usually are within the same box. We talk about Om, they say Ram, and the Om sound is the connectivity to your spiritual existence. So those are the ones that I'm familiar with. When I go on online and I look up many different mantras, and they always say, you know, you keep it, it's personal, it's yours, it belongs to you, you don't share it. But there's a lot of them, and that would tell me that it doesn't matter the words you use. But the ones that I am familiar with are those that I mentioned, and they exist. It brings you to that state of meditation a lot faster. And as you're doing it, if you're able to maintain, if you're consciously alert enough to maintain the word that you're using or the phrase or the chant that you're using, you are meditating. You are well on your way in the meditative world or the meditative place that you go to. You're connected to everything at that sense. I find that when I used to use the mantra all the time, like I said earlier, I generally just go in and try to listen to my heartbeat, and I try to feel the pulse and the blood being pumped through the body. And doing that, I'm busy, and then my mind is not being occupied by, oh, I forgot my short grocery list, or should I bring avocados home today, and all these things. I'm focused on that, and I'm in my meditative state. You could do this, and I say it all the time, you could do this anytime, anywhere, as you go. And of course, one of the questions I've had in the past is, can you do it while you're driving? I say, get really good at it before you try to do it, because it doesn't take away from your conscious alert. If you're not in your room with your eyes closed and probably listening to some meditative music, and you're on the road, you're doing your job, whatever you do, you're walking, you're in presence of other people, you're able to slip your mind into that. Going back to what Jerome is saying, is it matter the word? I am not 100% sure, but if you find one that you like, try it out, it may work for you. The tone and the sound that you're making is putting you on the vibration of that spiritual existence. I hope I answered that question properly. Stacy, thank you very much. You love the show. Thank you for being there. New listener, welcome. And you probably heard the intro and what we talk about, so I don't want to go through that again, but we just want you to get the best of it. And welcome. Welcome home. You've opened the door to all the possibilities that exist. And you must know that God does exist, but you're the one. I'm the one. Everybody who's listening is the one, and you've got your own. A lot of things I say here, and people don't like hearing me say it, is that no one is coming to rescue you. It sounds harsh, and a lot of people are saying, are you kidding? How dare you say that? But you were it. You're it. Welcome home. Learn spirituality. It will guide you to a very productive life. And the longer or the more you're at it, you will learn, everyone will learn how to take care of themselves, how to cure their illnesses, and how to live productive and get along with a neighbor. Philosophy is the way to go. And spirituality, philosophy, I've studied, and I realize that if you learn psychology, that is the prevention. Sorry, that is the cure. Something's wrong. You come and lay on my couch and tell me, and we'll figure out how to cure it for you, or get you around it, or how to tolerate or deal with it. But if you learn how to deal with spirituality, philosophy, you get into that path where you're preventing yourself from having to lay down on somebody's couch and pay them a lot of money and tell them how you think they should live their lives. Nobody know your path. And I've said this many times, and Stacy, you being a new listener, nobody knows your path except for you. No one. It's not possible that another person knows your path, regardless of what they're telling you and how they're connected to this or how they're connected to that. Nobody knows your path except for you. So we speak of spirituality. We speak of getting into understanding thyself to know who you are. Therefore, you're then able to identify your own path. Nancy, new listener, thank you very much. I appreciate you being there. I hope that does give you the uplifting that you get from time to time. I appreciate that is a way of life, and we need to get onto that very as soon as possible, because I'm not saying you're wasting time, because I really don't know what your path is, but I'm saying that the quicker you get there, the better, and the faster you have an understanding. And we all come up with these things, man, why didn't I know this when I was in my 20s or my 30s, or I'm finding it out now. Well, now is perfect, because if it was meant to be, it would have happened. Therefore, you've just opened the door. This is where it begins. Welcome home. Adam was asking if we're affected by the smoke. Yes, actually, for a few days this week, we had this haze over where I live in the Durham region, in Toronto as well. And apparently there was a lot of fires going on. A friend of mine called me from Mexico and asked me if Canada was on fire. And I thought it was a joke, because she said the news is reporting that everything in Canada is blazing and we're locked down as a city. And no, that wasn't the case. It was a little bit hazy. Yes, it did affect us. I do know somebody who was troubled by all the smoke and soot that was falling in the air, that was in the air. So yeah, it's been a rough week. It's better now. The haze have somehow gone. We could see the skies again, the blue parts of it. And it's been a interesting week. And yes, we've had fires east, west, and north of us. And there's not much south of us to have fires, because we have a Great Lakes of dividing us. Anyway, it was north, it was east, and yes, it did have this haze of smoke coming from the north, coming from somewhere. I can't tell if it was north or the west fires or the east fires, but we get them from time to time. I think in my experience, it's the worst I've ever seen. So I hope I answered your question. Yes, it did affect us, Adam, and thank you for asking. What is my take on aliens? Wow, that's a big one. That's huge, because it's not the show that we're doing. But you know, you listen to the news all the time, and you hear people say that they see flying saucers and they see this, and it's interesting to find out that the most of the flying saucers sightings has been in the United States of America, and I think that's fascinating. But hey, you know what? We don't know everything. My take on it, I do not feel that we've been visited by aliens. Do I believe the pyramids were built or aid or helped by it? No. Do I think we've had aliens on this planet? I have an opinion, and that answer is no. I feel that because of how we are connected nowadays, if we had that information, I think it would be more publicly recognized, unless the entire government in every country is working on keeping it a hush-hush. My take on it? No, I don't think aliens had anything to do with the pyramids or built us or walk among us. And everybody out there has an opinion. And I think you are asking me what I think, and this is what I think. No, I don't feel we've been visited by anybody. Or, you know, I had this theory, the way we treat each other as human beings on this planet, we go to another continent or another country or another place, and we try to conquer them. You know, we try to take over. We don't try, we've done it. You know, we took their whatever, their identity, their wealth, their power. We enslave them. We try to eliminate a lot of them. It's not the topic you want me to talk about. But however, what if the aliens did see us and observe the quality that's within us and decides to hide and not come here? Because if we're trying to get there to find them, isn't that our intent? Isn't that what we've done in history? Maybe they saw us, if they exist, and decide, hey, I'm going to stay clear of that one, because we saw what they did to that group, and we'll see what they're doing to this group. We should just, let's just hide. That's my opinion. That's my thought. And I'm not selling that, but I'm just saying, if I were out there and I saw the functionality of this society and how we treat one another, I wouldn't want to be a part of it, because I have a chance to escape, and I probably would. This is just my thoughts. Please don't, this is not our show. We talk about spirituality. On that, we're saying get back to your existence. I hope I answered all the questions, Patrick. I did. And what was my, do I think? Yeah. So that's fantastic. So we're talking about spirituality. It's a huge world. Here's what I'm concerned about. We've not gone to every corner of this world or the depth of the seas. And, you know, we're trying to go somewhere else. I would have thought, well, why don't we just explore this to the best of our abilities? Tap in every single corner of the one that we live in. and take a good look at it, understand it fully before we start to step out and try to find something else. Maybe by thought, what we're looking for out there is probably right here in the other parts that we haven't gotten to yet. Or, you know, they've said many times, we've not gone to the depth of the sea. I can tell you one thing for sure, there's water down there because, you know, you don't have to go to the bottom of the ocean to know there's water down there. But we're trying hard, in my opinion, to get to another place. I totally support all the advancements that's happening in our societies and our lives and our technologies and everything. I appreciate it. I live it every day. Today is a living proof of it. I'm talking to you from miles away, maybe across the sea or around the ocean. Who knows? But we still have not tapped into everything that exists here. So I would have thought, let's do that first. Get that done. Clean up your own house or fix it or repair it or I don't know. Get the best out of it. Then we could go poke around in the neighbors. My opinion, just saying that. We're talking about spirituality. We're welcoming everybody to the show. We're having a fantastic time. And I just want you to understand that our lives are short. It comes to an end. We start at point A, we end at point B. We go through this thing as a conveyor belt. And it's a very short time. If I could snap my finger, that's our existence for the longevity of this, the existence of this planet. Enjoy that time. It's too short. It's not that important. What's important is to maintain the most valuable currency that you do have, which is the little bit of time that we have here. Work out the differences. Quit thinking that you're not being good or productive or you're better. Live life, explore all you can. Maybe you'll discover a way for us to get to the depth of the ocean and figure out what's going on down there. Life is way, way, way too short for the concerns I hear in the everyday life. Does it really matter? Does my car have to be nicer than yours or my clothes or my dance? Or does it matter? The life, what matters, and we're all doing the same thing. We're gonna eat, we're gonna breathe, we're going to sleep, and you're going to drink water and should exercise. And we're all doing that. Let's capitalize on that and make that the most important thing and not to be judging or judge others or seek power that you can't do anything with after you've left the body. A question I got this week, a discussion, a few of them, as to what are we supposed to do for our children? And I was told, I mean, you're the bow, they're the arrow, you get them. They choose you as a parent. You get them and you take good care of them, you feed them well, and you are prepared to educate them to the best of your abilities for today. But the question that's coming to me a lot is, are we supposed to create life for them to make it easier than we experienced? That's a tough one because I don't know what their intentions are. Maybe they want to come back and lay on the beach and sip coconut rum. Maybe that's the life they want to choose, but they have that right to come on this soil, put their foot in the sand, and create their own whatever it is. Do we set for them? If, according to a person I was speaking to this week, if we continually build, create, and pass on a wealth of generations and generations of wealth as an example to our children or knowledge, then they will just not have to do anything. So what would their purpose be? It's a question because I simply can't tell you what their purposes would be. Are we supposed to do that? So that was a question that popped up this week. And I said, you're supposed to take good care of them, feed them well, nurture them, change their diapers when they're little, feed them, and then you be the bow and let them be the arrow. You pull, you set, you let them go, and where they land is where they're supposed to land, simply because they have their own priority. They have their own list. They have their own things that they're supposed to do. That was a question that popped up, and I thought we would get into that one. Another thing that popped up, very sensitive topic. And what do you do as a human right, as a human person, what is your right to do? You now see somebody's being taken advantage of. You don't have a full understanding of what prompted, what brought it on to this point, or even why you're there. Are you supposed to intervene? you don't know the situation, or could your intervention create more of a problem for that person? Let's say a hypothetical situation, you see partners going at it, and you want to go in because as a human being, you feel you've got this obligation to protect and take care of and help. We do, we all do, because as human beings, we have servitude and we're supposed to lend a helping hand to the fellow person. That's your obligation as human being among each other, because tolerance is all that important. What do you do when you're presented with this situation? And I would love to have your feedback on this one, where you see something, in your opinion, somebody's been taken advantage of. Are you supposed to intervene? Now, you're doing this, of course, it could be a very horrible situation for you trying to fix it or trying to help or trying to intervene. You could, in many cases, have proven people have gone out to help others and end up losing their lives or getting hurt, injured. What do you do if you are that person and you see somebody's being taken advantage of? Do you jump in there and try to fix it? Do you try to help? And in a spontaneous response, of course, if it's a physical situation, of course, you want to get up right away and try to offer some sort of resistance or call the police or do whatever you can. Now, you see a person in a burning building, of course, right away, the first thing we try to do is we forget who we are. Men are a little bit more likely to run into a burning building because we're not thinking rational at that moment. We have one thought, and it's to rescue or to save, which means we do have this innate quality to help your fellow human being. I feel it's our obligation, but we make a lot of mistakes in doing that, and we end up hurting ourselves. One of my favorite singers of all time went into a burning building to save his mom, and neither of them came out. Bad situation. But and I'm not suggesting that he stands outside by, you know, and say, oh, well, you know, it was good, you know, but innately we rush to help or to save. What exactly are we supposed to do? Because we're not thinking rational at that particular moment. And it's only a moment. And for the rest of our lives, we will have the questions within us. I should have. I could have. You know, woulda, shoulda, coulda, all those things. But without putting yourself at great risk, and you don't understand the situation fully, are we still supposed to rush in to save or to help or to rescue? I just thought I'd throw it out there. I hope I didn't throw you off by saying all of that, but it is what it is. We're talking about meditation today. We talked about the chanting of the mantras, and I hope you get that right. We mentioned briefly today that we are God, and people don't like to hear that. I go through there when they challenge me on that. I go through their religious books, what they've come from, their background, and I point out to them what it says about us being created in that image. And they usually have an excuse or an answer for it all. I am understanding that we are all created equal, and we're all created by the same source, by the same method. We've come here to live the very same life. You might be a farmer and the other guy's a plumber or a doctor or, you know, a scam artist. I don't know if you actually come here to practice being a criminal. Actually, no, let me correct that. No, you did not come here to practice being a wrongdoer or a criminal, because you don't have those abilities from where you've come from. The spiritual existence does not carry the demonic side, and that's a made-up phrase. But the spirituality does not have it. So when you showed up here, your intent was like everyone else's intent, was to learn your purpose. And the evil that we develop from that moment until we leave was orchestrated or created by the existence of our presence here. There was no do-gooders or do-batters born. Nobody is born evil. We learn hate. We learn evil. We learn greed by the people who are responsible for us for our first 5 years of life. And this is where we get our instructions. You get 5 years, and then you 4 to 5 years, some say seven, and I still believe it's five, and those are the 5 years that will make you who you are. You can determine that if you're really good with your children for the first 5 years, and you try to give them all that they'll need for the other 95 years, if they're gonna be 100 by the time they leave, The first 5 years is the crucial point. And in those 5 years, we've inherited over 400 years of history. So if yours was a good one, you've made good children. And if yours was not so good, you're making bad children. Now, we like to think our children are listening to us by what we tell them. They're watching us by what we do. They will learn more by your action. Action speaks louder volumes than the words, and your children will watch your actions. So if you're doing it and you don't want them to know, good luck on trying to hide it, because they're picking up that vibe right away. And you could pretend to be a nice, good judgment of justice person within the presence of these young onlookers, and then go out in the world and be an ass. They will pick that up like a magnet will pick up a piece of steel instantaneously. I just thought I'd let you know that. So they're not watching, they're not listening, they're watching, and they're reacting to your actions and how you treat things. Remember when your kids were little and they would fall? If you made a big deal about it, oh my God, they will cry or they'll be scared. But if you laugh, they'll laugh with you, depending on what happened. They are judging you by your reaction. Do we have anything else there, sir?
We do have a couple of emails. Let's see here. Rob wrote in, and all he says is, an excellent show today. I always look forward to hearing from you. That's from Rob. Thank you, Rob. Greg says, so we have everlasting mortality if we keep coming back. We never, ever die. We'll be here for billions of years. That's from Greg. Claude says, Barrington, it would be interesting if you dedicate a show on dreaming. A lot of people would be interested in that, dreaming and the mind. That's from Claude. And Sharon wants to know, is it better for us to be respected or liked? So that's that from Sharon. And back to you, Barrington.
That's a good one, Sharon. Thank you very much for that. That made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. Right off the bat, you don't need to be liked. Another person's opinion of you is none of your business. And that's hard to say, hard to hear. What another person, what I think of you is none of my business. What, none of your business. Because it's my thoughts and it doesn't necessarily reflect who you are. I've never met you. You might be a fantastic person, or you could be the evil doer out there. But if I create an opinion of who I think you are, then it's just my opinion. It doesn't necessarily reflect who you are. So, is it better to be liked than respected? No, you definitely want to be respected, because people will, the term respect means that they're going to see you for who you are and take you for who you are, because they've respected the decisions that you've made, how you've conducted yourself. If I had to pick between the two, oh yeah, hands down, I need the respect. Because that means you're not going to bop me over the head or try to run me over with the car or to take away my property and all these things or whatever it is that may be. Yeah, you definitely want to go with the I respect you route. And when you greet a person, you put your hand out for them to shake it, you're showing great respect, and you expect them to give you the same. It's not important if you're like, it's kind of cool depending if you're working in a small space and whatnot, but a lot of people will have their opinion of you. And their opinion of you isn't your business. Doesn't matter. And a lot of people, as you well know, are using this like umbrella to gain favors or trying to seek something. I do this at home a lot. My children will come around and I could tell. I just know they want something. Can I borrow the car? Can I have this or whatever it is? And I just say, okay, cut that. Just what do you want? What do you want? And, you know, they will fess up. And usually it's like, oh, yeah, this is years ago. Can you use a car? Can I drive them there? Can I do this? Or, you know, my son, can I have a rabbit? Whatever the case may be, you can tell when they want something. And the unfortunate thing is we can't always do that when people are faking being our good friends. And that's a horrible thing. They're faking being our good friends. Hey, you know, Claude, that's a fantastic idea about doing the dreaming thing. And I used to be really good at it. I've studied. And one thing I say to people all the time, and I will do, it's a great idea. I will do a show dedicated to dreaming because we don't understand enough about it and why we're doing it. So, yeah, we will do that show. Thank you very much for the idea. but the one thing I say to everybody all the time, if you do remember your dreams, write them down. Write them down. Just get a book and call it My Dreams, and you write them down. And some of them are not funny. But I noticed a pattern in my dreaming. I started writing my dreams down many, many, many years ago, and I found a book that I had all my dreams written in. I don't know, maybe about 10 years had passed, 15 years had passed. I go, oh, Jesus, I remember that one. Oh, holy man, I remember that one. And the dreams that I were having back then, I've lived them years after. Now, you know, there's, of course, you dream that somebody's chasing you or doing all these horrible things. Not those ones. That's because you ate late and you went to bed and slept on your back. That's what I'm thinking. But the ones that you have, and, you know, you don't understand them. I found this book and I was flipping through the book and I go, oh, my God, that happened. That happened. This happened. So is it it's a foretelling of what's to come? I'm not sure. So we are going to take a look at that. We are going to do a dream. Thank you very much. A show on dreaming. Thank you very much, Claude, for that. It's a brilliant idea. And I'm definitely going to do it. Do we come back? Greg was saying, do we have this mortality that exists? Do we come back all the time? We choose to come here. We choose to be here today. We choose to listen. We choose to come here and be the plumber or be the electrician, the businessman, or the radio host. We choose all these things. If we didn't fulfill our task on this journey, we're going to come back. I said, gosh, I missed it. I was supposed to catch a noon train. I didn't. I got to get back there and do it again. So you will repeat until you get it. And you eventually will figure it out. The more and the longer you've heard a lot of people say he's an old soul. He's been here many times, has lived many lives. If you listen to people who do past life regressions, they could tell you how many lives you've had and so on and so forth. So yeah, we will repeat it. If you missed your mark, you were supposed to be a plumber or electrician or a doctor, or you're supposed to come and cure a disease. If you missed the mark, you're coming back to do it again because you're unfulfilled. Your quest has not been accomplished. You were coming to be a victim or you're coming to be the villain, whatever the case may be. No, forget about the villain because we develop that when we get here. But yeah, you will repeat it. Do we have immortality? We will never die. And I've said this many times. You will never die. What will happen is you will have to lay this body down that you're carrying around because it can only go so far. Much like the old cars you've had in the past, if you've had any, they get to a point where you can't fix or repair or want to fix or repair. You just get rid of it. You get a newer model. Same concept falls true with your body. You get to a certain age and the body's old, broken, diseased, or whatever the situation may be. And of course, these last few decades, we're getting more diseases coming at us from all the stuff that we're doing. Anyway, you will lay it down one day. And you will get a new one and you will start again. The body itself is just a vehicle that journeys you from point A to point B. We're just a spiritual being and we live in the body and we're the driver of that body. We're the boss, we're the CEO, we're the governor, we're the everything that takes care of it. And this is why I say on a lot of the shows I do, please take care of it because it's yours. And the longer and the better you treat it, the more it's willing to go the distance. If you don't change the oil in your car, it's going to die quick, or put good tires on, you're going to skid off the road, or whatever the case may be, if you're in a region that has ice on your roads like we do at times. But the point being is that you have to take care of it. The spiritual aspect of you is for everlasting, immortality. It never dies. If you listen to a lot of the Hindu people, they say reincarnation. Meaning that the minute you leave this existence, you're coming back. Now, I've heard many times that a lot of the Hindu religious people don't see the cow as sacred animals. Now, do we evolve from an animal to become a human being? Well, the spiritual sense, not in the physical sense. You'll never see a cow out there with kneecaps and they're walking around and, you know, doing all these things. But the spiritual aspect of your existence serves everything that exists on this planet. The Hindu people seem to think the cow is at the next level to return as to become human being. And snakes as well, they say. Is it true? We're not sure. But they do worship. And if you look at, funny enough, we opened the show today about ancient Egypt and history and way beyond. They also were favorable to animals and they worship those animals all the time. They understand that the life, the God, the existence of all things that are great is equally in everyone, every body, every animal, everything that lives. They do carry a part of that spiritual existence. Do they meditate? I don't know. I know they don't fight each other for who gets the remote control. That I know for sure. However, they do live like us and they are the God like we are. We're able to do things that they can't do, obviously. Like birds are able to do things that we can't do, you know, or the whales, you know, we can't do that either. So I've never seen a man fly intentionally. They've tried. But I'm saying that the difference elements or creatures or animals that's on this planet, including us, we have our differences. And we are able to do some things that some animals can, and they can do a lot of things that we can't. Like, a cheetah could run, 60 miles an hour? That's very fast. I can't even do 6. But the point being is that we're different. But what's within us that's given us the life is equal to all that there is. We're all a part of the great wave. We're all a part of this good living. Rob, thank you very much. You said the show was excellent. I appreciate that. And I want for everybody to listen to it and understand it. And hopefully just don't think I'm here babbling yada, 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 yada all the time to actually take a step towards seeing. I would love for you all to prove me wrong. Just because I'd be educated, of course, more educated. I want you to be able to understand that all that there is a part of you. You are a part of it. We're in this universe. You are the most important entity that exists, and you need to know that. Don't just sit there taking somebody else's word as gospel. And live your life accordingly. Don't live in that box. The planet is huge. And you're in this one box because you've been dictated to by information that was given to this one box. What about the rest of the world? I thought for sure the music I enjoyed was the best. I listened to every kind of music, by the way. But when I was younger, the music I enjoyed the best obviously was the best music in the world. Until I heard other music. And I thought the very same thing for my food until I tried other food. And I thought the very same thing for my neighborhood until I ventured out into another neighborhood. So broaden the horizon, step out, introduce yourself to the world that is yours and experience all of it. Don't spend any of your time being mad or being hateful towards another human being. If they're in the way and you can, move out of the way. Go do something different because nobody has the right to restrict you from what is innately your birthright. You do not have to take it. If you are going to make a big move, please step back and look at the collateral damage that it may cause you or others and consider that and figure out a way how to make it more amicable if it is possible. Wake up. You deserve to see more than the little box that we were taught to live in. I was talking to a good friend of mine just a couple of days ago, and we're in Scarborough. This is in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. And she's expressed to me she's never left. She's in her 50s. She's never left more than an hour and a half away from her home. And that just blew my mind. Like, what do you mean? Your entire life for 50 some odd years, you've not gone more than an hour and a half car ride from your home. I've never seen an airplane. I get that. But we owe it to ourselves to go a little bit further. And this is what I encourage. Wake up and welcome to the reality of life and do study and understand spirituality. It is your guide. It's that big giant cable that you're supposed to hold on to as it pulls you up the ski ramp or pulls you through life, gets you through for you to have a better understanding for all that there is. Practice your meditating. It's a slow process. Thank you very much. Enjoy the show. Enjoy today's show. And thanks for everybody for writing in. I completely missed our time. We're out. And at that note, I'm going to wish you a very safe, happy week and say goodbye. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Barrington Awaken with your host, Barrington, right here on Reality Radio 101.